Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael with the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. Our number here, get it down here. You can get up your stereo, I'm sorry, your styrofoam, not your stereo. If you got your coffee cup in stereo, your styrofoam cup, you can get your little fingernail and etch on your cup so you cannot forget. Toll free, 888-850-1872. That's 850-1-USA, 850-1872. And you can give us a call. Tell us what your opinion is. In fact, heckle me. Ask a hard question, and we're going to have a good time. As long as we can treat people with respect. Mark, are you out there? My buddy, I haven't called you this on the radio, and this is not derogatory, depending on your purview, your perspective. If you're a... Do people who believe in the thoughts and ideals of Karl Marx, do they get offended if you call them a Marxist or a communist or an anarchist? I had an interview with a guy. He called himself anarcho-capitalist is what he was. He was an anarcho-capitalist. And he was running for an office under the Libertarian Party. And he was an anarcho-capitalist. And that was a compliment to him. So, the ist, as soon as you said ist, he just embraced that. He thought it was wonderful. So, I got to be careful not to call people names, because the ists and the isms and stuff, all that is just a goofy label that avoids the truth. Let's get down to the truth. Let's get down to the substance. But I got to tell you, the last conversation I had with Mark, who called, having some perspectives that would be, let's say, the modern term would be progressive. We'll call it the progressivist. It was labeled other things in the past. But we had a discussion on privatization, and we narrowed down together what privatization was, what we said, what I said. I said, would you agree that privatization is the government taking that which is legitimately a government function and rendering it over to a private interest, a private party, or somebody like that, when it ought to be their function? And so I told Mark that I believe that privatization is wrong. I believe it's unlawful. I think it's unbiblical for the government to take something that is its and give it over to somebody who is not the government. There's a whole bunch of reasons. I can analyze pragmatic reasons for that. I mean, there's a certain amount of accountability to law, practice, and things like that. Removal from its accountability to the people and all kinds of things that relate to that. But I said, what if privatization is that, then I would say it's completely whatever is done in that way is unlawful. I think it's completely wrong. Now, then the question came back, what is the purpose and function and limit? What is legitimately the government's to do? What is it legitimately under the American law structure, on the law of the land, what is legitimate? See, if it is outside legitimacy, it is unconstitutional. It is unbiblical. It is wrong. It must be. So those are my references. Our number here is 888-850-1872. One of the things I'm doing, I'd like to, and it depends on how much time I have, but I don't want to just go to the news media and see what's in the news. What I'd like to do is go find out what ought to be in the news and talk to the source. I went today to Code of Federal Regulations. I keep thinking CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. I saw this article. It said what Americans want from the United Nations. Now, can I just tell you, I've only had one major conversation with a CFR member, so I don't have firsthand knowledge yet, or at least secondhand knowledge even, of what their views are and what the Council on Foreign Relations does. I am one of those guys who's saying, I put these questions to myself and the audience and whoever, who's running the government? When I see things that the government says or people that are in office say, my plan is such and such, and I see where it came from, that somebody else in some other organization, very well may be not governmental, is coming up with the same plan or taking credit for it, or it's something that has been spoken 20 years ago, and somebody currently today is articulating the same thing, nearly maybe completely in the same words, and attributing it to themselves, little plagiarism there. I hope they don't get their doctorate on it. Then I go, wait a minute, who is really running the government? I went to the Council on Foreign Regulation or Foreign, yeah, whatever it is, Relations website. And I said, well, let's see what they're telling themselves. There's an article, What Americans Want from the United Nations. It's written by Stuart M. Patrick, Senior Fellow and Director, Program on International Institutions and Global Governance. He was on National News a few days ago, I understand, based on his September 22, 2009 article, What Americans Want from the United Nations. He said to me today, he says, yeah, the mainstream media gave me 6 minutes. So I'd like 35, you know, 5 minute break in between. Of course, when he gets here, if we're having a good time, then we can just press on smartly and people can heckle or ask whatever comments or questions they want to do by giving us a call at 888-850-1872. I'm going to read portions from this article. This is on the Council on Foreign Relations website, is what they are putting out in their newsletters. Americans would never cede power to global institutions. Is that a maxim that's true? I wonder. This is from me now. But he says, Stuart M. Patrick, Senior Fellow and Director, Program on International Institutions and Global Governments, Americans would never cede power to global institutions. They savor their independence, guard their sovereignty, and sidestep efforts to curb their freedom of action. They are wary that the United Nations might impose its will within their sacred borders. Now, again, there's this question. Is the United States, U-Nations, A or the, something you refer to as A or the United Nations, as if it exists lawfully? They are wary. I mean, you think you got trouble with the 16th Amendment? Come on. They are wary that the United Nations might impose its will within their sacred borders. And in the face of U.S. ambivalence, they believe the U.N. can never be more than a global talk shop. You know, that's, I think when he made that comment, I said, well, yeah, that's kind of the impression I have. I think, and if it's the impression I have without much thought about it, that it's just a global talk shop, I mean, that's what the League of Nations ended up being, right? He says, he goes on to say, most U.S. pundits can agree on that much. Okay, I'm a pundit, I guess. I'm a pundit. I'm going to skip a couple other things, but there was a survey done by this organization called worldpublicopinion.org. They're kind of a, I guess there's grants out there. Here, there's some free money. We're going to take it from the people. And as a stimulus, we're going to have people like the World Public Organization, the WPO, do some strange survey. With the help of World Public Opinion Org and the Council on Foreign Relations, they're going to release a comprehensive digest of existing polling of the U.S. public and world public, yes, from the past 10 years on issues of global governance. Let's see what Mr. Patrick says here in this article, and this is his publication, and he did it for the Council on Foreign Relations. Surveys taken over the past decade show, now let's see if this is the way you think. Surveys over the last 10 years show that a majority of Americans have considered traditional ideas about national sovereignty outdated. He's saying a majority of Americans have considered traditional ideas about national sovereignty outdated, no longer appropriate to a world of global challenges. Now, I have a question about that status. Is it outdated? Are the Americans' traditional ideas about national sovereignty outdated? On the basis of the Constitution, no. On the basis of the an educational system that may or may not have come from our own country, but has shown itself to be operative in our country. They've been feeding Kool-Aid to us. I got fed the Kool-Aid. I went to public school in California, of all things, Southern California. And I didn't turn out like some people in office today. I don't have this. I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. I didn't. And then later, not only did I drink the Kool-Aid, I actually met the author of This Planet, and started to respond to his instruction, and boy, oh boy, have I not taken the Kool-Aid. I don't have the same worldview as the vast majority of people that appear to be in office right now in the Congress and in the United States executive branch. Most respondents have said that they want the United Nations. This is what Mr. Patrick says that the survey has shown. and this is over the last 10 years, most respondents have said that they want the United Nations rather than the United States to take the lead on international issues like refugees, peacekeeping, human rights, and nuclear proliferation. Now, what's interesting about this is it depends on how these questions are worded, and we'll have an example here shortly. But most respondents say that they want the United Nations, as if the United Nations itself is a legitimate government. We're going to see what's going on here. There's going to be a place where we realize, hey, they're going to have their own little spot, like the Vatican has its own little country, like Washington, D.C. is the seat of the quote-unquote the United States as an entity. Let's see what this where this goes. This survey from worldpublicopinion.org, 60% of respondents said U.S. officials should work more within the United Nations. Look at the words here, the term, within the United Nations, as if it's an entity, a super government is what it appears to be here in these words. 60% of respondents said U.S. officials should work more within the United Nations, even if doing so, I think this may be their summary of these survey, even if doing so means the United States has to compromise its own policies. Even if doing so means the United States has to compromise its own policies. Is the United Nations a super government? Is it the super government that we are subjects to? There's the question, 888-850-1872. Is the United Nations a government that we are subjects to? Of, I'm ending in a preposition. I have to be careful there. 60% of respondents said the U.S. officials should work more within the United Nations, even if doing so means the United States has to compromise its own policies. Where do those policies come from? The poli, P-O-L, people, politics, people. Who in the government is the government of the United States a subject of the United Nations? Is it subject to the United Nations? This is the question I'm posing to you. Is it subject to you? Was it? Is it subject to you? Has it been subject to you? Is it now subject to you? And will it be subject to you in the future? Is it a subject of or subject to the United Nations? This survey said, Mr. Patrick of the Council on Foreign Relations poses that our nation should consistently follow international laws. It is wrong to violate international laws, just as it is wrong to violate laws within a country. I believe that that's probably a quote right out of the survey. Our nation should consistently follow international laws. Our international laws, those laws basically produced by the Congress of the United Nations as if it were a government, or international laws, things that are based on natural right and treaties? There's a question. Folks, we are so removed from the reality check, a way to consider things on a critical basis. Where is our, I'm telling you, this is such an important radio program. In fact, it's probably just confusing the daylights out of a zillion of the listeners. In fact, they may even get a supernatural euphoria just listening to this thing, because it's almost like you've got supernatural forces battling over your mind right now where we're talking about this stuff. This is wild stuff, folks. We've checked our minds out. We've drunken the Kool-Aid as a society. We're killing our posterity, which is very clearly now showing up and killing our prosperity. And we wonder, what's going on? Are you confused? Guess what? There's a way to get back to an orientation of reality. Thank you for listening to the Liberty Works Radio Network. We're going to press on with our mission. You're listening to David Alan Carmichael. I call this a Faith and Freedom Show. Our freedom is going to come in proportion to our faith, and we're going to lose it as we don't exercise it. Hey, we're going to come back. Tune in to our website at faithfreedoms.org.